the weekend.
7 minutes after the hour, the Good Day Weekend program continues. I'm Doug Steffen. The supermarket guru, Phil Lempert, is under the weather and substantially so. I just am in touch with him via email. He's having a tough time of it. So we'll work through the hour with lots of food information. We'll meet Carol Chong. We'll be talking about ethnic foods. We want to spend some time, because it's Earth Day weekend, talking about some of the Earth Day connections to great food, how that may work in your area. Organics is something that people want to talk about. Phil has some great ideas. If you go to DougSteffen.com, you'll see in the box next to the Queen of Cheap box, where it's focused on better living, a lot of tips from Phil Lempert, including making sense of food labels. All of that is there for your information. Coming up in a moment, we're going to have an excerpt of a program that I did with the chief chef, Chef Louis DeAngelis, and the members of my Good Day crew, talking about food flubs. That's coming right up here on Good Day Weekend.
Facility maintenance pros, ask yourself this question. Self, does managing my facility's inventory drive me crazy? If yourself answered yes, then Granger, the best resource for facility supplies, offers KeepStock, a service that helps take the cost out of managing your inventory. With KeepStock, you'll know exactly what you have, where to find it when you need it, and you can stop all this talking to yourself. To learn more, contact your Granger representative or visit Granger.com/KeepStock. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
We would like to have a little time devoted to people and their mess-ups in the kitchen. I guess those who, Roberta, yeah, would probably stand in line for this. What do you goof up most when you're cooking? Do you have a certain food?
Ingredients.
My mother used to make a meatloaf, and 9 times out of 10, it was really bad. And
meatloaf is tough. It can get dry.
Yeah, but then she'd make a good one every once in a while, and it was really good. But I don't know how can you mess up? Is it simple stuff that happens most often, Louis, or is it complicated things? The more complicated the recipe, more chances there are for a mess up.
Well, you know what it is, Doug, and it always amazes me, but there's generations of myths that have been handed down over the years that we believe. And we keep making the same mistakes. And some of these mistakes are actually in cookbooks. And you watch these cooks on television, and they're giving you bad information. I'll give you one that's a blockbuster right off the bat. Most of us have seen it. We see it in a recipe that if you're going to make a roast, for example, or if you're cooking a steak, they tell you to put it on high temperature right off the bat, throw it in a frying pan, and sear it to seal in the juices.
Right. Really?
Okay. They couldn't be farther from the truth.
Really?
Let me tell you something. I could see, like, human flesh, live skin. You cauterize it, and that seals it. But we're talking about muscle tissue here. We're talking about.
Why do you talk about this stuff? Oh my God!
Well, it's the science of cooking meat.
You take a hunk of meat and you put it in a frying pan. Okay. If you take a chop or a pork chop or one of those mock tender steaks and you throw it in high heat, the first thing you notice what happens is it curls up. And the reason why is because when high temperature hits muscle fiber, it tightens up, it contracts. And any way you look at it, if you take a sponge and you contract it, as it tightens it up by squeezing it with your hands, what happens? All the juice, all the water, everything comes out of it. And what you do when you take that piece of meat and you put it in a hot frying pan, they even sell barbecue grills now with a searing device on it to seal in the juice. And what it does is it contracts the meat so rapid, so hard, it squeezes the juice out of it. So that's one of the biggest misconceptions in cooking. And you see it in recipe books. You see it all over. And it's not true.
So you say start with the medium heat.
Yeah.
Here's what I used to do when I would cook, a tenderloin on the grill or something.
Okay.
I would do the mom. I have a Weber grill, and they call it the mom thing. Medium, off, medium, or medium, low, medium.
Right.
Put it in the middle, so you got higher heat on the outsides. Direct heat underneath is on low, and then you close the grill and just let it do a long, slow cook. But recently, I started doing the put it up on high, and then sear the outside, and then turn it down on mom, medium off medium or medium low medium, and then do the slow cook. And I did find that it stayed a little juicier, but I don't know the tenderness quotient, what it did.
Well, what you're doing is what the French discovered years ago called Maillard. And what that is when you take proteins and sugars and you burn them, it gets very tasty. The pig example is toast. White bread compared to a toasted piece of bread. Mm. All right, that's the sugars and the proteins coming to the surface, making a nice little crust, and it tastes delicious. So what you're doing when you're searing meat is, sure, it's got more flavor, and it'll confuse you with juiciness, but it's flavor. All you're doing is making the proteins and the out. They get crusty and gives you more flavor, but you're not searing anything yet.
Let me ask you about something. I guess I remember this from school lunches as much as anything else. The meat that is served is not very good. And a lot of people are saving money these days, buying less expensive cuts of meat, or in general, just buying cheaper stuff. So is there a way of cooking some of these things in the way that you've just been describing that makes them more palatable, makes it easier to digest, or more popular? Is there some technique that you can use, especially for meat products?
Well, I believe in braising, which is nothing more than a speeded up crock pot. Okay? And what happens is, let's take the crock pot, for example. You're making a pot roast. All you're doing is, you want your meat to be 165 degrees, say. Mm-hmm. So you take the surrounding liquid and set that at 165 degrees. No more, no less. Eventually, that entire piece of meat will become the same as the ambient temperature around it, the liquid. It won't get any hotter. It won't get any colder. And it'll bring it up to that temperature in a nice, easy fashion where liquids can flow in and out of the meat. And that's why you get pot roasted. I mean, that's still one of America's favorite cuts, and it's a cheap cut.
Mm-hmm.
So braising, you know, which is half covered in liquid, or either in a pot or in a crock pot, I think is probably the best thing to do with meats.
Hmm. All right, so then let's play this one more step down the road, and that is looking at things like veggies that people don't like. Brussels sprouts. What do you do?
I love Brussels sprouts.
I know you keep saying that. Who cares?
Good
stuff. I don't know. Yeah. How do you make it palatable? Let's get it.
Bacon.
Meat's not for everybody, but all right. So Roberto wants to wrap Brussels sprouts
with bacon on Brussels sprouts, or roasted nuts, roasted walnuts,
or diced prosciutto.
Good.
Wow. Ooh, diced prosciutto.
The one thing you got to remember about vegetables, you know, with another great kitchen myth, is that colored vegetables like the bright greens and the reds are more nutritious than the bland looking ones. And that's another one that's just a total myth. If you take white kidney beans, cannellini beans, white beans, they have the same amount of protein as the red beans, as the green beans. They have probably more fiber. Okay, so you take these vegetables and you work with them, work with what they are. Brussels sprouts, probably 91-92% liquid. So the last thing you want to do is try and add more liquid to it. So you don't boil them, you don't steam them. Instead, you cut them up quarters, put them in a frying pan with olive oil, fresh chopped garlic, and a little bit of basil or mint, and fry them up. Oh, my God, they're going to be so delicious like that.
How good are they for you?
Excellent.
They
Brussels
are?
Sprouts have them.
You fry them up, though, when you fry them. If you cook them, you fry them up sort of using the good oils. They should be okay.
Using olive oil.
Right.
Yeah.
And garlic and a little bit of...
You don't fry them, Doug. It's called sautéing.
Right, that's okay. What I thought. Yeah, right. You just happen to be using a frying pan.
You don't need that
right.
Just a teaspoon of olive oil.
Uh-huh. You know, there's something...
Even Chef Louis uses the wrong word.
this sort of is an introduction into another area. Cooking these sorts of things... The way that we are using new foods, like seaweed. Seaweed apparently is becoming quite a delicacy, even though it's, you know, it's seaweed.
It's always been in Asian countries. They've always eaten it.
Well, so how do you cook?
There's nothing new about it. You know what seaweed was the basis for it to begin with?
No.
MSG.
Salt.
Monosodium glutamate. That's where it came from. And that's another
out of the sea. Sea salt. Okay, yeah. From the sea.
That is a whole other misconception. MSG gives you headaches. MSG gives you lightheaded feelings. No, it doesn't. It really doesn't, because it's high in glutamic acid.
All right, so let me ask you this. If this is the trend, if cooking things in seaweed is a trend, is it adding a salty flavor to things? Is that why it's desirable, because we seem to like salt? Does it give flavor? Let's say you cook seaweed, use seaweed to cook veggies. I'm thinking of a bowl of rice and carrots and maybe chopped up beans, things that I might have if I went to a restaurant.
Well, what you hit on is a perfect example of why they use it, Doug. Because of the high content of glutamic acid, all right, it enhances anything it comes in contact with when it's cooking. And this is why, America, most people, the highest number of hits in a restaurant for salad dressing is Caesar salad, because it has high glutamic acid in it. The mayonnaise, the Parmesan cheese. Now, do you get a headache when you have too much Parmesan cheese? No, but yet we say we do when we have MSG on our Chinese food. So it's all psychological. But if you cook with seaweed, you're using natural glutamic acid, which is a naturally occurring MSG, and it enhances your food tremendously. It just makes the flavor come wild. Which brings you to another misconception. And it's amazing that you brought that up. We've always believed that we have four separate distinct taste buds on our tongues. Okay, and the truth of the matter is they're all over the place. They're not in four separate areas. Scientists have debunked that years ago.
Was it sweet, sour,
bitter,
ugly,
salty, right?
And salty, the fifth one
being umami, that they claim, is really not a taste bud, it's a psychological reaction called satisfaction, which is what happens when you eat chocolate.
The Rolling Stones are singing about chocolate. Yes, of course. Hi, Louis. Thank you. Always good to have your input. Good to have a lot of the stuff that Louis talks about. In a way, even though it sounds extreme, kind of healing. Listening to Louis talk about food, I find healing, frankly. So you have I been healed today? Yes, Louis, you have healed me. Thank you. Talk to you again next week. Chef Louis DeAngelis with us here on Good Day at 18 past the hour.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
When Marlon Shirley was 5 years old, he was in an accident and lost his foot, but he didn't lose his heart.
When you tackle a challenge that you just cannot even fathom tackling, when you accomplish that, the amount of integrity and the will and the heart that you'll get from that experience is what will set you up for your life.
In less time than it took Marlon Shirley to say that, he can now run 100 meters, because today he's the world's fastest amputee. Overcome. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you have the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. LifeStraw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. LifeStraw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. LifeStraw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing LifeStraw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tatler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
The Earth is the focus of lots of attention this weekend. The annual Earth Day celebration has been going on for like 24, 25 years, maybe longer than that. Actually, I think I can go back to the days when I was teaching school, which would be a number of years ago. It seems to me this started around 1970, 1971, and each year it gets bigger. There's a different approach to celebrating our planet. The Earth is in the focus this weekend. And in fact, there's a pretty interesting idea that's been put forth by several groups, including the Nature Conservancy. The picnic, the so-called picnic for the planet. The largest picnic celebration in the history of the planet. What they're trying to do is break the Guinness World Record, attempting to have the largest number of picnics with one focus. So if you're interested in participating in this picnic, you can go online to the Nature Conservancy website. Picnic has to have 25 people. It has to take place in a 24-hour period. Basically, the window is the 22nd, although it can start, it's supposed to be pretty much during the day, the 22nd. The picnic has to be out of doors. How would you define a picnic if it wasn't outside? How do you have a picnic in the house? You don't have a picnic in the house. It's got to be outside. Every picnic has to have three people witnessing, that is signing an affidavit that says at least 25 people were at this picnic and the participants did this, that, or the other thing, and they need to have a photo at the Nature Conservancy in order for you to be a competitor in this Guinness World Record approach. And the food, that's an important part of food. What's the most typical thing that you have at a picnic? And now, thinking about the fact that Nature Conservancy is pretty much, I think it's safe to say, they're anti-meat, anti-beef, anti-flesh. So what do you have at your picnic? 800-510-8255. If you were to have a picnic, what are the sorts of things that you would find appealing? There are all kinds of things you can do. Chef Louis, who was just here with us, we listened to a bit of a conversation that he and I and the other members of my Monday through Friday Good Day gang had. Finding veggies this time of year, the fresh, the wonderful spring things like peas are coming in many areas. The Delmarva, for example, down around Maryland and the Carolinas. There's even some early corn from down there. But all of the things that you can cook on your grill. Make a picnic out of veggies. That's what they'd want you to do. Anyway, the website is nature.org to check out the records that have been set so far, the suggestions for what you can have for your picnic, how to get documentation. If you want to sign up for this sort of thing, it's all very cool. It's all part of Earth Day, nature.org. You may want to check that out. And you certainly can check out a lot of things that pertain to Phil and what he's following. The hits and misses, the things he's tested this week are always listed. You can sign up for his daily or weekly mail delivered straight to your inbox. It's supermarketguru.com, supermarketguru.com. One of the things that Phil was studying this week and he passed along to me is the this use of the term organic and how in our country it's different than what, for example, the Europeans use in terms of defining what organic is. When you go to the grocery store now, or you go to some organic shop, or you go to some farm that says it's organic, do you really know what you're getting? The United States government has so messed this up that the Europeans have said, we're not buying anything until you straighten this out from you that you claim is organic. And so what they're doing is trying to straighten out what we have done to mess this up. This is a $26 or $27 billion a year business at the moment. Did you realize that? $26, $27 billion spent last year by you or whoever it is that goes to the organic farmers markets, that deals with the organic farmers, the big ones, the small ones. And because, as is the case with pretty much everything else in our country, the system has been bastardized by these big companies coming in. They see the organic business is growing. They see that people want fresh, local food. So they're trying to get in on it. And as a result, they've pushed the government to water down the regulations so that what you're getting may not be organic at all. What you find in some of these big stores versus what you might find in Uncle Matt's organic farm in Claremont, Florida, is night and day. And so what you need to kind of do is satisfy yourself. You'll know whether it's true organics or not. And but more importantly to the story, the U.S. Department of Agriculture is working now because they realize they've messed this up. There are 50 different organizations in the country that are accredited by the government to certify farms as organic, but they've way stretched it. And that's why the Europeans don't want to have anything to do with what we call organic. In Germany, for example, it's a whole different thing. You can go anywhere on the mainland, especially, and see real organic produce and be comfortable because it isn't run by some big corporate interest. So it's interesting, again, when you're looking for organic, you got to satisfy yourself that it came from some farm that's small enough to be able to watch these things and make sure the rules are followed. Half past the hour, we talk about ethnic foods in a moment or two here on Good Day Weekend. I'm Doug Steffen.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
$4, $5, $6, even $7 a gallon? According to fuel industry insiders and economic experts, those are the forecasted fuel prices, with no end in sight. Fight back fuel prices with a fuel saver from AirFusionSystems.com. These fuel savers can save you from 20 to 40%. They're designed to fit any vehicle, from compacts to SUVs to transport trucks. The fuel saver works on all gas, diesel, even propane engines. Easy do-it-yourself installation in about 15 minutes. And the best part? No engine modifications, no computer chipping, no running wires, no chemicals, no water, no running costs, and no maintenance. And these fuel savers come complete with all parts and accessories. See how it works at AirFusionSystems.com, spelled A-I-R-F-U-S-I-O-N, systems.com. Or call 888-887-9981, 888-887-9981. Fuel savers from AirFusionSystems.com. Save fuel, save money, save Earth.
Right now, the average family spends one-fourth of their income on food. It's time to cut your food budget in half by using the best, most affordable food on the planet from eFoods Direct. The savings from eating this food will actually help you pay your other bills. Serve these delicious meals to your family tonight for a quick and easy dinner for about $1.25 a serving, compared to over $3 a serving for any other food. This food is compact, making it easy to store some away, and will be just as delicious in 25 years as the ones you cook tonight. Is it affordable? Absolutely. The new Alex Jones Family Pack saves you up to 50% compared to other food storage companies. See the comparison at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633. My friends, as crazy as this world is today, you'd be nuts to not get a storable food supply. Give eFoods Direct a call and order one of the Alex Jones Family Packs and test it out today. Start your journey of food independence today at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633.
Now, 33 minutes after the hour on the Good Day Weekend program, focus on food. Phil Limpert, the supermarket guru, is under the weather, probably got some bad food. So I'm here to spend this time with you, this important time, focusing on food, where to get it, what the right attitudes are about food, cooking food, where you get your food. Carol Chong is the director of food and menu management for the Miami-Dade County Public Schools. And in that role, in that area, there's probably a lot of pressure, Carol, on trying to bring an ethnic food, obviously the Hispanic influence there. So I guess that's where we begin, in trying to understand how you get students to engage, because you want them to eat well. This is a program that taxpayers spend a lot of money on, so you want to hit the mark, right?
Absolutely. And with that said, there's also the challenge that we have a very high Hispanic community, but they're not from all from one country. So within the Hispanic community, there are many differences, even with the way they prepare their foods.
Why do the people who are running this program feel it's necessary to cater to ethnic foods at all? And maybe we go back to your experience in school and my experience in school when it was, and I was going to school in a time when it was meat and potatoes, and people sometimes brought their own lunch. And so we had it, and most of the food wasn't anywhere nearly as well prepared as it is now. I mean, the whole food management thing in schools has changed dramatically in terms of choice and quality and all of that good stuff. But why is it necessary, if you prepare good basic food and the schools are doing their job in educating children as to what the benefits of eating well are, why do you need to go this extra step?
You just said it. The benefits of eating well, okay, is that when you think about us serving food at school, we're nourishing bodies and minds. And if you think about how you prefer to eat your food, you like things that you like.
Yeah, I'm not probably a good example because I'm pretty simple.
Okay,
I like basic stuff, and that's what I eat.
You're talking about immigrants.
Yeah.
You're talking about probably first generation. maybe even second generation, so that, you know, or them themselves that came here from another country.
Well, let's
you
take
want
your
familiar food that they're going to eat, because, you know, it takes a while for one to try something new and different.
Yeah. So the business of variety here. I grew up in a very, in terms of diversity, a wonderful area, which allowed me to grow up and understand people of all different cultures. And it was wonderful, frankly. I'm very thankful for that. And I still happen to live in the same area, very diverse. I'm not sure things are as good now as they were when I was a kid. But I know that I grew up around a lot of people, Middle Eastern people, a lot of, Jewish people, Greeks. Kosher food was important to my Jewish friends at home. Well, we didn't have kosher food in the school lunch menu.
Well, we don't have kosher food in the school lunch menu. That's because it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to have two separate kitchens.
So you don't go that far with it.
We
that's
don't go
I
that far.
Yeah. Okay.
But we do, you know, go to the point of offering. For example, we have a school that has a high Jewish community attending. And so what we do is we offer things that might be what would be considered parv, you know, like eggs and tuna fish, for example. And,
yeah.
You know, we try to separate things so we don't mix meat and dairy, so we don't have turkey and cheese sandwiches.
Right.
We have them separate.
Yeah.
Okay. So we honor traditions, and we honor religion as much as we can, knowing that we have over 340,000 children. You know, you can't satisfy everybody.
No, however, I think that would be very hard. Yeah.
Yeah. However, you know, knowing that our mission is to nourish minds and bodies, you know, and over 70% of our students are from the underserved or high economically needy group. We want to be sure that we offer foods that they will eat.
Well, but
so,
children,
you know,
mostly.
That's the reason we kind of, you know, try to cater to ethnic, you know, dishes, because the familiar foods, they will eat those.
Yeah.
You know?
We're having a conversation with Carol Chong, who's the director of food and menu management in Miami-Dade, Florida. The business about what is being offered, how to get children to eat the things that are there. You want them to eat the good stuff. And it seems to me this goes back a bit, Carol, to educating young people about what the choices do for them that they make. There are a lot of kids who think going to a fast food place is neat. They like the taste of the food. And there are some schools in some parts of the country that even have some of these fast food places, if not right on the school grounds, adjacent to the school. So the kids can go out for a half hour at lunchtime, and they can go next door and buy this stuff, which is just basically garbage. And they are satisfied because they're full. And I guess I'm bringing this point up because it seems to me, as a matter of fact, I think a lot of people would agree with this, that we have done collectively a horrible, horrible job of educating youngsters from the very beginning as to what they ought to be putting in their bodies. And the fact that so many children come to school without having had breakfast is criminal. What is a parent to, I mean, if you want to have children, your responsibility is to feed them. And if you're not feeding them before they go to school, you are derelict in your job as a parent.
Well, that's pretty harsh.
I know. I'm sorry. That's what I think. I think that, I mean, what is your responsibility? You're a parent. Child goes to school. Look at all of the stuff. The child, as a matter of fact, I think it was in Florida this past week, the six-year-old youngster in school lost control of, I think it was a girl herself. She was ripping shelves off the wall and biting the principal's leg or some such thing and turning over desks. And you get right down to the brass tacks. This child has been eating either nothing at all or horrible things, all these sugar-laden things that kids get before they say to their parents, oh, I want to eat that cereal or whatever. These things are horrible for them, and they don't seem to know any better.
That's right. And None of us grew up with nutrition education. That's the problem. Our parents didn't grow up learning nutrition. We don't teach nutrition in schools to the extent that, you know, children and then eventually adults understand that you are what you eat. All right.
Perhaps that should be a goal of all of this. We're, you're doing a good job managing the school. Maybe they ought to know why you're feeding them the stuff that not only does it taste good, but it's well prepared, it's healthy food. Here's why.
Well, you know, and maybe what we should all should be doing is campaigning for nutrition education to be included in curriculum so people.
Well, there's a lot of discussion of this current farm bill. The farm bill provides a lot of the sustainable foods for the school lunch program.
Yes.
Maybe part of this bill ought to be to teach kids what is good and what they ought to be eating.
Exactly. And you know, along with providing good, healthy, nourishing food, you know, people have to understand why they should eat more fruits and vegetables, why should they should eat more whole grains. It's not just about, well, it's good for you. I'm
why
a registered dietitian that came from healthcare originally, so I connect the dots.
Let's talk about, let's spend a minute talking about what sort of, give us an example of the kinds of things in the Miami-Dade County public schools that you're bringing in for the various ethnicities, just as an example of the kinds of food that are good and they seem to be well accepted by the students, various types of things.
Well, we do a lot, lots of beans and rice combinations, you know, garbanzo beans, black beans, red beans. We do arroz con pollo, which is chicken and rice. We do picadillo, which is a ground beef type of dish that we serve also over rice. Rice is very, very popular, not only with the Hispanics, but with also the Caribbean base.
Brown rice? Do you serve just brown rice because that's healthier, or do you serve all kinds
both,
of rice?
We do both, actually. We do both. We do pasta dishes. We do the Italian style.
Right.
We do Asian.
Do you find that other that the children who are, let's say, Asian may try the Mexican food, the dishes, and vice versa, or things that are that have roots in various ethnicities? Are the children experimenting with some of this stuff? And does that open up their minds to other things? You know, again, you're catering to Hispanics or to people who are Chinese origin or whatever it is, and yet these things are there for everybody, so it would seem to lead to experimentation.
Yeah, well, we have a selective menu. So we don't just have arroz con pollo on the menu and then everybody has to eat that.
Yeah.
We have salads, we have sandwiches, we have wraps. So we have different things, you know, on the menu that if a child doesn't like the picadillo, they can certainly have something else that's familiar, you know. And we also have the old faithful peanut butter and jelly for some of those. But we do. We see that, that children will... you know, follow their peers, and they will try something different. You know, one of the most popular dishes that we do sometimes is a Jamaican beef patty that, you know, that they like. So, you know, they're willing to taste other things. I feel that children are more savvy about food now than even when I was growing up.
Well, it's part of the educational process. You're going to do this. It is part of the educational process. There ought to be something, however, that goes with it. That's what I'm lobbying for.
Right.
That's why I brought up the food bill because, I'm sorry, the farm bill, because there are so many different parts, moving parts to it, including the school lunch service and how the food lunch service gets food from the USDA is an important part of all of this. I would think that the new nutrition standards that require you to serve more vegetables, you're preparing them. Are the children or the students eating these vegetables?
It depends on how we prepare them.
Mm-hmm.
If you prepare them in a familiar way, that you know, or you prepare them in an appealing way, they will eat them.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's the education, you know. Something new, I encourage our managers to have tasting. You know, I do focus groups with students.
Do you?
You know, to, for them to tell me what they like. I won't buy it unless at least 300 to 500 students approve it.
Mm-hmm.
So well, you know, I feel that they have a voice in what they want to eat. And it's not a dictatorship where this is good for you, eat that or nothing. Because we do pride ourselves on the consideration that the food that we're serving is there not to fill a gap of a hungry belly, but to nourish minds and bodies. We connect the dots between nutrition and its role in the educational process.
You know, one of the things that I'm also thinking about here is, as part of the experiment, if you expose these youngsters to different foods and they taste good and they are good, then it does offer them the sort of alternative to fast foods. And they will start thinking, wait a minute, all that I hear, and you look around and you see how big some of these high school students especially are, how they've grown, how fat, obese, whatever term, overweight you want to use for them, because they're not eating the right foods for the most part. And their children are maybe even cruel at this level. They're pretty sensitive to this stuff, and they get on others who maybe need to have some dietary advice. But this, giving the practical example of preparing these foods, does, I can't imagine that it doesn't encourage students to think, okay, I know it's going to be good for me, and it doesn't cost any more than buying the fast food garbage. So maybe we're getting people, I mean, these fast food restaurants aren't going to go out of business, but maybe there's something here to get them to think, and that's what you're trying to do. Any school experience needs to require the kids to think.
Well, you also have to look at the big picture. Fast food restaurants, no, they're probably not going to go out of business. They're corporate America.
Right.
And they're following the school lunch pattern. If you see that they're now offering salads and they're offering milk and fruit as part of their meal packages, which that's what we do, cause, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, we laugh that they're now, you know, trying to copy the National School Lunch Program, mm-hmm. whereas before, you know, the thought process was that we had, if Muhammad wouldn't go to the mountain, we would bring the mountain to man. So we tried to offer, you know, the fast foods in schools. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the whole evolution of that process of where you saw, you know, junk food starting to go into schools, and now everybody's eliminated it.
Yep.
But, you know, in terms of the obesity problem, all right, it's twofold. But the major one is the physical activity.
Yeah, you're right.
Because whenever funding is decreased or diminished, okay, what goes first? Physical education classes.
We're so short-sighted. It's so silly how we approach these things. Well, I want to know, let's see here. I'm looking at how this stuff gets, there are a couple of YouTube places to go for examples of this sort of thing. There's probably a website, too. Where would people go if they want more information on this? Looking to advice for our school systems who want to bring a variety into the school menus. There must be some national place, isn't there, to go to?
Well, the School Nutrition Association has different articles and different links that can help them, definitely. The American Dietetic Association. USDA.
I'm just thinking about how you can, maybe people look at this stuff and they practically, okay, this is going out of school. Maybe there's some ideas here that we can use at home to sort of bolster what you're doing so everybody's sort of on the same page. Carol, thank you for joining us. Carol Chong, the Director of Food and Menu Management for the Miami-Dade County Schools. Some pretty interesting things going on there, and I'm betting in the school system that your children are in, there are equally interesting things going on. You may not know about them because kids aren't telling you about them. 10 before the hour.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
With over 900,000 products and 31 product categories, some people would say Grainger has everything but the kitchen sink. Of course, those people would be wrong, because sinks are among the over 900,000 products Grainger offers to help keep your business up and running, along with belt sanders, baseboard heaters, duct tape, tissue paper, reversible air drills, and, well, you get the idea. Most everything. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain. Not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. PlantSkid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use PlantSkid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkyd.com. Ask about our new bull repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. PlantSkid. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed. Or your money back.
Can heart and body extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using heart and body extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking heart and body extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and body extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and body extract for a long and healthy life.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
Sip hot chicken soup with rice, sipping one.
55 minutes after the hour, the Good Day Weekend program. Phil Lempert is under the weather today. I'm Doug Steffen with an idea, as long as we're talking about all of this food and how good it is, and sometimes get a little carried away. I know I do over the winter months. And so at this time of year, many of you want to lose 15, 20, 25 pounds or more. You can do it safely, practically, with lots of support, using an all-natural product called TH121. TH121, it's an antioxidant, anti-aging weight control formula. It has a dual role. There are no stimulants in it, no doses of caffeine. This is the healthiest way. There's never been a better, more healthy way to approach excess body weight, the problem of getting it off. It deals with the fat. You get into a fat burning mode with this stuff. TH121 will help you feel great and look great. A lot of people wake up one day, wait a minute, where'd all this weight come from? I feel like a big fat slob. TH121 contains natural ingredients that will reduce the unwanted cravings while enhancing fat burning at the same time. And for the million-dollar look, you call 800-525-2710. You'll get a free bottle with your order of the product. Regular price, regular bottle, free bottle goes with it. So you get two for the price of one. Also get a free fat blocker as well. So all the ingredients of getting you to act, 800-525-2710. Act now while you're thinking about it. Only take you a few seconds to call 800-525-2710. Buy a bottle at the regular price. Get a free bottle of TH121 and watch the pounds burn away. A little exercise is good for you. All of that stuff. TH121 is the product. We're talking a lot about Earth Day today, and one of the things that's sure to come up is a discussion of sustainable foods. When you hear this being discussed, you may see some things on television this weekend. You'll read in the Sunday morning paper about Earth Day and the promotion of sustainable agricultural methods, which allow for the use of certain ways of keeping pests away. I have a farm. I'm not organic, but I might as well be because I don't use any chemical fertilizers. I use all things that are natural, the manure from the cows, various sources. That does a world of good to get the microbes in the soil working. See, the commercial fertilizers don't do that. The commercial fertilizers will enhance the development of the seed into a plant, but they don't do anything for the ground that the plant grows in. And that's why you see a lot of the land in our country has been used up, because we're getting all the nutrients out of the soil, which are not replenishing them. So part of the education this weekend is to understand how to do that. One of the ways is to grind up fish bones and that sort of thing. Get that on the soil. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Probably the Whole Foods Market and other places like that, Trader Joe's will have a lot of information. So if you're doing some shopping this weekend and you're looking to have sustainable foods in your home and supportive Earth Day, you'll probably find a lot of that stuff underscored at these various stores. You know, where does the food come from? How is it grown? All those things you ought to know more about. And Earth Day will help you find some of that information out pretty easily. Phil Leppard back next week, hopefully with us. I'm Doug Steffen at 59 Past on Good Day Weekend.